Thank you, Reverend Josh. Thank you, kids. Brothers and sisters, it's good to see you tonight and glad to spend some time in fellowship with you this evening. I want to just start off with a word of thanksgiving. First of all, for our sister Ashante Young for leading in Nikki's stead. It was just making me think, you know, Ashante, as you're leading us in worship, I was just thinking about the spirit in which we bring ourselves into worship and the Spirit of God moving in the midst of us. But as I was thinking about that, being led in worship, I was thinking about our worship team, our production team, our choir, our praise team. And I just have them on my heart and want to be praying for them and inviting the church to be praying for them. It takes a lot of effort every week for them to offer their gifts and their skills. And sometimes we can take that for granted, you know? And so I want to invite this church to be lifting them up in prayer. We have some transitions happening in the life of this church, in that ministry as well, in the production ministry. And it's just an important time for us to be, one, thankful for the people who are offering their gifts, and then two, encouraging them, and three, praying for them. So let's pray. Let's give thanks. Lord, thank you for the gift of worship and for the people who offer their voices, their talents, their musical gifts, their insights and technicalities to the production even. We thank you for them. And we pray that you'll guard them and let there be a spirit of joy in that ministry and in this church on account of their offerings. We thank you for them, Lord. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. And just in that spirit, as I think about the Thanksgivings, I want to give thanks also for those in this church who bring the Word of God, that such as Reverend Nikki last week for sharing in the offering of the Word, and then before that with Reverend Cheryl sharing in the Word on Monday, Thursday, but then also all of you. I mean, in so many different ways, I see you as the people of God diligently studying God's Word, and even sharing it with those people who are in your circles. And I just want to say thank you for taking the Word of God seriously and for spreading the good news of Jesus Christ in the different ways that you have the ability to do that, the ways that God has opened up that for you. It's a gift to be that kind of community, you know, to have a multitude of voices who are willing to share and expound upon God's Word, and not just have it coming from one person, but a multitude of voices in this community sharing God's Word. So I thank you for that. I want to share this word from Peter's letter. It's the second letter to that Peter wrote to the church, 2 Peter, and it's verses chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. And in some sense, it has to do with those who share the Word of God. So I invite you to hear this word. Peter writes, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit speaking from God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's just bless the reading of this word, and let's bless the meditation. Lord, we ask that you would bless this time, our time together as we meditate on your word, that it would be made fruitful in our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our lives, and that anything that is said from me or from us, anything that is meditated upon, that we would honor you in that and be of your spirit and moved by your spirit. And we pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. you know, I've been thinking about just sharing of God's word, and it made me think about my first call. Reverend Ayana and I, we took our first call in Long Island, New York. It was way out on the east end of Long Island, and we went to this little community church. I mean, it was not that little, but it was a real community church, meaning that the village in which we lived was relatively small. It was the church was the hub of so much life in that community. Lots of different things happened there at that church in the community. It was a fruitful place, and it was vibrant. It was full of people who wanted to know each other in the Spirit of God, but also wanted to know the Word of God. You know, they wanted to study it, to teach it, to share it. And I think in a lot of ways, I was thinking about this because they were like you in a lot of ways. They were interested in God's Word in a serious kind of way, and they wanted the Holy Spirit to guide them in that interest. And, you know, that interest could be found from the youngest to the oldest, and I'm serious about that. Not everybody was, you know, doing Bible study every night and stuff, but from the youngest to the oldest, you could find people in the church who were interested in God's Word. The women and the men, the laity and the pastors. It was a vibrant place in that regards. One of the most meaningful things that has stayed with me from that community had to do with their approach to the Word of God as it was preached and proclaimed. And it was an approach that was taped on to the top of the pulpit, the stand upon which the pastors would preach. We had not as big of a church as this, but on the pulpit there was this little card taped onto the top of it, and it read this: "Sir, we want to see Jesus." That's a quote from the Bible. You may recognize it. It comes from the Gospel of John, where some Greek people approached the disciple named Philip, and they said this to him. They said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." It's like they were saying, "We want to know more about him. We want you to bring us to him. We want to see Jesus." And in other words, these Greek people had come from far away. They were a different group of people than the Jews, and they wanted to see Jesus in some kind of way, because they knew that in some kind of way, everything led to him, to Jesus. The things of this world, the circumstances of our lives, the Spirit of God, the faith that we have, the very words of this book that we call the Bible, it all leads to Jesus. And that's why the sign on that pulpit has stuck with me, because it was a reminder to me, and it's still a reminder to me today, that all this stuff that we do as the church, all this stuff that we do as the people of faith, all the stuff that we do to prepare ourselves to hear the Word of God in this moment right now, all the stuff that I personally do to get ready for a sermon or preaching and teaching, whatever it might be, the whole purpose of it is so that we can see Jesus, so that we can know Him and trust Him more and more. I'm saying this because I think Peter's second letter to the church seems to be speaking about something similar. If you know the context of his letter, then you know that Peter was actually about to die. It's probably around 3 years later, after he wrote this, that Peter was martyred for his faith. And even though Peter had no way of knowing the details of what was going to unfold in his life, he did have a sense of that which was to come for him. And he had a sense that the stuff coming was not meant for his destruction, but for the glory of God. So that even in his death, Peter could bear witness to his faith in Jesus Christ and to the faithfulness of the Lord in his life and in the church and in this world. And because Peter knew that his time was short, he wrote to the Christian community to give them a last testimony of sorts, his last words. That's what we might say 2 Peter is. It's like it's his last words. And so he wrote to them, and he started out by saying something like this: "Brothers and sisters, it's all about Jesus. Everything points to him. The things happening in this world, even if they are difficult will ultimately find their judgment and their fulfillment in him. The things happening in your lives, the circumstances you might be facing, the hopes you might have, the struggles you endure, the challenges that you are overcoming, it's all his work in you. It's all about him. It's his story. And every other story that happens in this world is going to eventually begin to point towards him. It's going to eventually begin to show forth his righteousness, his justice, his mercy, his forgiveness, his love, because it is all about him. And here's the thing, that enabled Peter to look out ahead into the coming days and allowed him to see that which was to come. Not because he's a clairvoyant, not because he could predict the future, but because Peter had witnessed Jesus Christ in his life and in this world. He had seen the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord, and as such, he had received the Spirit of Christ in him. And with that Spirit in him, Peter was now oriented towards the story of Jesus into forever, so that whenever he looked out ahead, he knew this: God is going to complete his work. God is going to do what he has said he's going to do in and through Jesus. He's going to show forth in the Spirit of Christ. He's going to draw me, us, all of us into this work so that we can take part in it, so that we can share in it, so that we can be refined by it, so that we can be set in order by it. He's going to be doing this work out ahead so that a new day can come, the dawn of God's kingdom, which is ushered in through Jesus Christ, which is why Peter went on to say that Jesus is the bright morning star. He writes in the passage that we just read, so we have this prophetic message more fully confirmed. You'll do well to be attentive to this as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Jesus is the bright morning star that Peter spoke of. Now, let me ask you a question. Does anyone know what the bright morning star in the sky is? Say it again. It's Venus. Venus is the bright morning star. At particular times of the year, like right now, actually, in this moment of time, Venus appears in the sky after all the other stars have disappeared, and the morning sunlight is just a few minutes away. In fact, it's so notable that one article on the website space.com wrote this: early morning risers who head out to work and school before sunrise are likely beginning to notice an extremely bright star-like object appearing low in the eastern sky just before the sun itself. What is somewhat amazing is that just a few weeks ago, this object wasn't there at all, but now it literally stands out with such brilliance as to almost command the attention of commuters who might be traveling in an easterly direction and say, "Look at me. That radiant object is the planet Venus. After putting on a great show in our evening sky, which extended through this past fall and much of the winter season, this dazzling planet will now be putting on a spectacular pre-dawn showing for the rest of this spring, summer, and all the way through the middle of the fall 2025. In other words, in this moment of time, right now, the planet Venus appears right before the dawn. It is a herald of that which is to come. And for those who might know how to read the stars in this kind of way, Venus prophesies a new day to come. That's what the Apostle Peter was thinking about prophecy. That's why he wrote, we have this prophetic message more fully confirmed. You'll do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit who spoke from God. In other words, the prophetic word of God, which is found in the Holy Scriptures, the prophetic utterances of people who are speaking out God's word, are only true insofar as they speak of Jesus Christ and his story. in this world and in our lives. Prophecy is only prophecy if it points us to the end that God has in mind in Jesus Christ. If it points us to the heavens, the new heavens and the new earth, that place that God is bringing forth in which we can dwell in peace with God and each other, that's prophecy. But if it's not somehow pointing to Him, if it's maybe just a word or an utterance about the future, like, I know who's going to win the Super Bowl this year, or I know what you're going to do tomorrow, or worse yet, I declare to you in the name of God that God is going to do this thing that has actually nothing to do with the character or the content or the eternal intentions of Jesus Christ, well, that's not prophecy. And that's not the Spirit of God in a person. Instead, it's a vanity, it's a falsehood, it's as Peter warned, a cleverly devised myth that leads us astray from God's intended purposes for us. But if it is a word that comes out of the Scriptures, if it is a future reference that points us to Jesus Christ, if it speaks of the dawn that is to come because we have seen the bright morning star, if it tells us to trust in the Lord even if it might seem dark outside, to strive in our faithfulness to God because the morning light is about to break and God is about to bring His deliverance into this world and into our lives, if it speaks of that kind of work that we have seen in Jesus Christ, that's the Spirit of God giving to us a prophetic insight about that which is to come. And here's the thing. If that's the case, then you and I, and any person of faith really, can be a prophet of the Lord. Because with the Spirit of Christ in us, moving in us, we can look out ahead and we can know that God's work is going to happen there. We might not know exactly how it's going to happen. Sometimes we might confuse our plans with God's details. Sometimes we might even think that God's word says one thing when it doesn't really say that. But every so often, when we are walking in the Spirit, when we are attentive to the Lord's presence in our lives, when we are listening to what God is saying in and through the eternal word of God who is known as Jesus Christ, when we are doing this, every so often we get this flash of insight into the coming days so that we can see clearly what God is doing in a person's life or in this world. And we can speak it out with a measure of confidence because in our faith we know that it points a person to Jesus Christ. That's what began to happen with David and the prophet Nathan. Nathan actually came and listened to David's intentions to do this great and wonderful thing, and he said, yeah, go ahead, it sounds good. God will bless you in it. But then that very night, the Lord came in a vision to David, but through Nathan. And Nathan began to speak the vision of what God was going to do. And that is what came to pass. God's word has promised us that what God has begun in Jesus Christ, that work that's revealed on the cross and confirmed in the resurrection, what God has begun, God is going to finish. And what that means is that everything, all powers, all spirits, all people, all creation is going to eventually be conformed into His kingdom way, which Jesus spoke through the Beatitudes, where He said something like this, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. This is the work that God is bringing forth. This is the kingdom that He is making happen. And anything in this world that says otherwise will eventually be shown to be false. This is the work that you can see out ahead. This is the shape of things to come. This is what the new day is going to look like. And if we have seen Him, which we have, He's the bright morning star. He's shining right before the dawn. And you might know that the sky right before the dawn is often the darkest. But this morning star is shining, telling you that soon the light is going to break. Soon the day is going to come into full view. Therefore, Peter says to the people of God, live with that in mind. Strive towards that end, because God's kingdom is coming and all the other kingdoms and ways are going to be set aside as worthless. You know, I'm going to close with this. Years back, I used to run track. And in track, I would compete in the long distance races. And I remember running the mile and how I didn't like track all that much. And I didn't like that race all that much because it was hard and long. And I just didn't want to do it. But I did it anyways, kind of like my children. My oldest daughter did this as well. Now, I'm trying to say something. I'm not trying to discourage our runners tonight. I don't know if anyone's running tonight, but I'm going to give a blessing here. So just bear with me for a moment. I think that what happened to me in that moment is it gave to me some insight into what Peter's talking about. I hated the mile on laps 2 and 3. A mile is 4 laps around the track. 2 and 3 were terrible. But when you get to the 4th lap and you start it and you start rounding the bend and eventually you get to that last bend in the track and you see the finish line out ahead, you can set everything else aside, how you feel, the pain, because you know that it's coming. And even not only can you set aside all that stuff, but you can even start to kick and sprint and run as fast as you can towards that finish line because you know that it's coming. You know that moment of joy and rest and that you finished the race is about to approach. You know, I think Peter is telling the church that we have rounded the bend. The finish line is close. If you are moved by the Spirit, you can see it. And the kingdom of God is beginning to unfold. And then even if the moment feels perilous or hard or dark or painful, even then, we know that the dawn is about to break because we've seen the morning star. And so gird yourselves up. Return to the ways of the Lord and live them out. Strive with everything that you have towards what you see ahead, the work of God revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has made the kingdom of God come near through his mercy, forgiveness, and sacrificial love. That is the way of the Lord. Walk in it. Run in it. Encourage others in it. Endure in it so that you can reach the finish line. Amen? Yes. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to take a moment and lead us in prayer. And first of all, what I'd like